God, we're again to be able to come again collectively and look at your word. Your word it's proven true. I'm asking that you help us tonight, dear Lord, to be able to explain some of what I believe it is that David has had penned, so that we can know how to recognize you and to appreciate who you are and to understand our need for you. I'm asking, dear God, that you help all of us in seeking truth in our responsibility. I'm asking that you'll help us in our homes. I'm asking that you'll help us to be true to you. And as we continue to look in the depths of your word, that we won't just have a mental idea or have gained knowledge and do nothing with it, but that your word, that it changes us, that it molds us, that it shapes us, that it compels us, that it washes us, reminds us, chastises us all that we need, because we understand that your word is able to sustain us, dear Lord, for your word is you. We need the essence of truth. Help us to understand that in all facets of our life, young, old, in health, sickness, I'm asking that you give us the ability to see you. Help us to cherish your word. I ask that you help me to explain in a way that's pleasing to you, in a way that is edifying, in a way that is truthful to what you actually wanted us to get, or at least a part of it. I pray for our brothers and sisters, dear Lord, in other countries, not only those who have to endure hardship and turmoil, but just for all of them, dear Lord. I'm asking that you give us strength. Help us in seeking truth to grow. Tonight we're coming from the 42nd division of the Psalms, and Drew is going to read these verses first for us, and then I'll begin, and I'll tell what the title is that I have given for this particular text tonight. Coming from the 42nd division of the Psalms.
As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and the Hermonites, from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God.
Thank you. These scriptures that we're looking at tonight are very, how can I say, full of sorrow and full of pain. The title that I've given this tonight is Recognizing the Need for God. Recognizing the Need for God. Actually, the 42nd division of the Psalms, actually begins the second book. The Psalms are divided up into five books, and so the first division all the way up to the 41st division is divided up as the first, and the 42nd one starts the second book. Many people believe that David is the one whom God inspired to write this as he was moved by the Holy Spirit. Again, I say that this is definitely full of sorrow and sadness. There are also scholars who've looked at this text much longer than I have, who believe that this might be centered around the time when Absalom was trying to overtake David's position and his rulership over the kingdom. I don't want to go into all of that, but we do understand that Absalom was one of his sons and that David had fled his palace, if you will, in hopes of trying to sustain his life and avoid all some of this problem that was going to befall him. If this is true, many of the scholars that I've looked at was talking about how David was basically in exile. And so when we look at this, we want to understand that this is a man who is separated from the place where he loves to be. I believe it's the 15th division of the Psalms where David says something like this, "Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle?" In other words, David was a man who loved to be in the presence of God, not just privately, but also corporately or with, let's say, other Hebrews. We would say saints are members, if you will, of a particular assembly. I'm going to call them an assembly. So David is missing something here because he's in exile. He's been separated from his family. He's been separated from a place that he was accustomed to going with many people. My title again is Recognizing Our Need for God. We've already had the scriptures read, but I want to kind of give a little preface to try to help us understand something, because I know I'm not going to give it justice. I was thinking about how is it that I could start to talk about these scriptures? How is it that I could even bring even just a minimal understanding of what I think David is doing in agonizing? So I was thinking about, if you've ever been in a pool or been in the ocean or been in a lake, and then you somehow swimming and your stroke is not as good as it was, and somehow you start to panic and you seem to sink. And as you sink, in panicking, you start to fight against the water. If you know anything about swimming, they say don't fight against the water. Well, that's not my point. My point is in panicking, we begin to understand something. We understand that in a few minutes, in a few seconds, or however long it takes, that I might not have the very breath that I need to be sustained. Maybe that's not the best illustration, but think about it for a little bit. Or have you ever held your breath? When I was little, I used to hold my breath, see if I could get past a minute, if I could get past a minute in 10 seconds. Did it before, but after a while, just like, I was just in such need of that life, that breath. David, a spiritual man, a man that understood, I need Yahweh to be sustained. Another thing that I was thinking about before we actually look at this particular text is the prodigal, we call it the prodigal son. I want to say it's Luke 15. I might be off. I haven't looked at it in a while. But the prodigal son had all the provision that he needed, took his money that the father gave to him because he asked for it, and he went away and he squandered it. And then he came to himself when he realized, I need my father's provision. It is with that tone, and it might not be the best one, that I want us to think about this man, David, the king, who was so accustomed to being able to go to the temple of God and render sincere praise and recognition to the God who created heaven and earth. I shall start now with this first verse of the 42nd division of the Psalms. It reads, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God." This hart that is mentioned here, And when I was studying, it said that it's like a stag or a male deer, but it said that there was a feminine verb used there. So for those of us who are not so familiar with languages, there's sometimes, if it's a feminine verb or an object, then there has to be agreement. So another rendering of this is as if it were a female deer. If we think about it as a female deer or a hind, that is, maybe a gazelle, there is a tenderness that we can think of in this particular verse. Listen at this. As that, let's say, gazelle or that female deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee. One commentary said it was as if the deer or this particular animal had been sought after or hunted, and after having run for such a long time, maybe in the heat of the day, it knew that it needed the water to be sustained. So in the time, perhaps, of drought, and after running a long time, that deer needed something that would give it life. David, a man in exile, and many believe that he was in exile far away from the temple or the tabernacle, he started, I want to say it was as if he was beginning to die on the inside. What were the factors that caused this? Well, if it's Absalom, then he was trying to preserve his very life. But there are sometimes things that we can do and we'll think that we're preserving our life, but it's still not enough. David realized that he needed God. This word panteth, there is a word, that an English word that it used is brayeth. It was as if the deer was crying out to be sustained and to have that very life for another day, for another moment. Lord, have mercy. Do you and I even think about being in God's presence that way? It's more than just, okay, going to the tabernacle. You see, since we have gone through Leviticus and so forth, you and I, even in retrospect, should have a better understanding about something. Why? Because God would not let him approach his temple any kind of way. David is saying, I longed for you, I desired for you, I ached inwardly for you because I lack, I need something. He understood that in going to the tabernacle of God, it wasn't perfunctory. It was more than just ritual, like what sometimes we hear people talking about today. I went to church and either got my groove on or I heard a good message. While it is a good thing to enjoy the message, to enjoy song, we need to understand that to be in the house of God where his word is rightly divided, and we hear truth, we hear correction, we hear something that will uplift us, life, the scripture that will tell us how to live, you don't go any kind of way. There is an expectation that God has for his people. Say, Gary, get back to the text. What I want us to understand is that David had a right understanding of what it was to be in the presence of God. He missed it. He missed being in God's house. Sometimes we don't even miss God's word. He understood that being in God's presence was to have God's word, to have God's correction, to have God's forgiveness. He understood that it was more than a ritual thing. David said, just like that delicate deer misses in the drought, misses after being sought after and chased, it needs the water. I was reading several different things about the deer. I even read something where it talked about even if a deer was fearing after its life, it would go down deep into the water. Never heard this, never seen this, never read this until I was preparing. And it would hold its nose, its I guess you call it muzzle, just up over the water to seek safety. Being by the life-giving source of water to be sustained. David understood something here. Isn't that magnificent? All of this out of the first verse. David says, my soul desires after thee. It is almost as though it's involuntary. It is so much a part of who he is that, you know, I think it's in the 34th division of the psalm that says, my soul shall make her boast of the Lord. I have got so much of God's spirit inside of me that I begin to realize when I'm lacking. Let's go on to the next verse. Let's think of it. This man was in exile. Before I go to the next verse, there are things that can drive us from God. There's some people who believe that this was caused by sin. We understand that David had many things in his life that he had to suffer consequences because of them. What is it that will drive us away from God? And if it's us, if it's an external situation, do we miss God and do we recognize our need for him? The soul needs to be satisfied and satiated. Lord, have mercy. As the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God. I'm in the second verse. My soul thirsteth for God, the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? It's as if David, we're privy to his innermost thoughts. We're privy to a complaint. We're privy to his prayer, if you will. We get to hear how he's thinking. This man, being in exile, recognizing his need for God. My innermost being, the very necessity of who I am, must have God's word, must be in his presence, must be in the congregation of the righteousness. Lord, have mercy, because if I'm in the congregation of the righteous, I get the strength, I get the consolation, I get the very chastisement that God would have me to know. There is a very judgment in coming in God's presence. I said God had an expectation. David longs for this. Listen, my soul thirsteth after God. There is a type of fellowship that you and I ought to begin to cultivate and long for when we're outside of God's will. This brook of which he spoke of a stream, and often that stream would be a flowing stream. God's words, being in God's presence, should be living, for God is living. Jesus, in the fourth chapter of John, he told that woman, he said, he who gets this water will have a water of a well springing up in him, and that person will never die. I said at the beginning, imagine yourself in a pool or in the ocean, and you realize that you're tired, and you begin to fight against the water, and we begin to think about life. David is considering his very life, and he longs for a God, the God, Yahweh, who can sustain him. Listen, my soul thirsts for God, the living God, not just any God. You see, David had an understanding that there were many heathen nations around him, and they had a god called Ashtoreth, or they had a god called Baal Peor, many different gods, but David speaks of the one true and living God that would give life, or had given life, to all of creation. This is the God that David knew about. Yes, do we know about that God? And he speaks, he wants to get back in the presence. Remember, I'm talking about a man who's far away from the tabernacle. How far have you been from God? How far have I been from God? Do we long to get back if we're in his presence? Let's stay in his presence. David asked the question, when shall I come and appear before you? I want to abide in your tabernacle because you created life, and I need life. The one who doesn't desire God's correction doesn't want to be in God's presence. The one who doesn't want to be in his holy scriptures doesn't want to be in God's presence. So this is speaking of the person who sincerely wants to please God. We not only want to be in his presence, but we understand again that there's an expectation. Listen at what David says as he begins to speak about what happens from being outside of God's presence. My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? David speaks of his soul longing for being in the presence of God's tabernacle, and then he begins to say something. There is a consequence that I feel. there is a result that when I'm not able to frequent the house of God, not for show, not for ritual sake, that I begin to die. Can't we understand what his very soul is saying? Well, there's something that we should understand. It's as if David is saying, instead of being able to eat, my tears has taken the place of the, my body's consumption of natural food. It's as if that this sorrow is so excessive and so tremendous that I don't even feel the desire to eat. Why? Because God is more important to me than food. Now, I'm not saying that David didn't get to the point where he would eat, but when I was reading this, it spoke of a literal lacking or a literal abstinence from eating the very food that his body would require. It spoke of his body in not having food. It was as if to promote the idea to himself the idea of sin. Now, again, I don't know if necessarily this was because of sin, but if he was in exile, then if you and I remember anything about Absalom, he didn't really correct Absalom, did he? And maybe it was because he had realized that he hadn't been the best father. But in not correcting his children, there was a consequence. Regardless of the fact, in exile, David longed for the very food that would sustain his soul. He needed God's instruction. He needed to be in the presence of God. David says, like, I'm not even eating. My tears are so many. This sorrow is so great upon me. It's like I'm bowed down, and my heart's desire is to get back with you, God. When will I be in your presence? Saints, being exiled from God, whether it's because of a situation or we feel like we can't come to him, we can't get to the point that we fail to see that the scriptures is the way to know God. The scriptures are going to give us the very life that we need. Why is it that we would reject the scriptures from the very one who breathed life into Adam, and through him we've got a natural life? We need spiritual life. David longed for that. Listen, there are some enemies here in this letter portion of the third verse. David says something that you and I should just understand. While they continually say unto me, who is this they? These are people who are continuing to give David grief, continuing to give David a hard time. I look at it as if they are daggers of doubt that pierce his very soul. Here's this man away from the temple of God, wanting to be in the temple of God. If he's reminded of sin or just the fact that he's not there, you understand that if David had gone back to the palace when he was trying to get away from Absalom, that they would have tried to kill him. David is longing for this, but he's hearing these things. Where's your God now? These people are constantly reminding him of this situation in which he is not in God's presence. Where's your God now, David? You speak of his goodness. You speak of his kindness. What about your glory days when you was going around conquering and amassing different regions of land? Where is your God now? Do you and I remember that we've gone through various psalms where David would ask God to stand up and interpose for me, act on my behalf right now, God? But we had to understand something. If you and I can remember from the 40th division of the Psalms, I'm just going to read the first verse. David said, I waited patiently on the Lord. Something about David we see, he would offer up his complaints or he would offer up his petition to God, begging, crying, remembering his very sins or remembering that people were mistreating him, but he knew that he had to be patient. Why is it that when you and I are trying to be patient on the Lord, it seems like that there are things that will bring doubt to our mind? David says something. I'm crying. How much do we cry for God's strength? How much do we cry for God's deliverance? David is seeking after God in the midst of all of this confusion. The fourth verse reads, when I remember these things. What things is David remembering? He's remembering how he used to be able to frequent the house of God, how he could with joy
I believe he lifted his hand sometimes. The Bible speaks of David dancing. You remember when they got the Ark of the Covenant? David was happy. He danced in the presence of the people. They would come together in a procession or worship God. I believe they worshiped most of the time in spirit and in truth and with an understanding because they know who Yahweh, or they knew who Yahweh was. David says in the fourth verse, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise with a multitude that kept the holy day. Now, when we read this right here, it says, when I remember, it seems the way it's written in this King James Version, it's like, when I think about it, this is what I'm going to see. These are the images I'm going to have. But when I was studying, it says that basically we need to think about the verse, the verbs or the action words in this verse in the future tense. So listen at this. I will remember. David here, and that's based on the language, linguistically speaking, that it has a future translation. I will remember these things. David, it has an expectation that God is going to bring him back to the tabernacle. This is something that we need to think about. What was my title? Recognizing our need for God. Recognizing then our need for correction, his instruction, for the very life that is to sustain God's people. Lord, have mercy. Since it is, I will remember, David, even in his consternation and his sorrow, he would look to the truth of the scripture and God, he could remember God's promises. He remembered the time of praise. Why is it that sometimes when Satan comes to buffet us or people get on our nerves, we forget about God's goodness? His scripture is stronger than that. It requires something of us to be tested. Let's take it back to the text. I will remember these things, and he pours out his soul. Why? Because it seems that in David, the fact that David is a human, there are times when this flesh will be, it seems, rendered powerless, and it's as if the soul is melted down and we have no strength because of grief, because of people, because of sin. What is it that makes it seem like we're in exile and that we can't embrace the Holy Scriptures, that we can't embrace God's presence? Sometimes it's shame. David longs for it. Lord, have mercy. If it's sin in our lives, we need to recognize that we today, we tonight, we at every moment need a God who can pardon if we repent. Listen, I will remember these things. I pour out my soul in anguish because of the grief of being separated from his presence. I remember the time Michael Jackson had a song. Do you remember the time? I don't remember the rest of the words, but can we remember the time? He said, I had gone up with the multitude. We could understand that some of the psalms, or many of the psalms that we have read about, David had some insight about this wonderful God, this the Yahweh who made heaven and earth. Remember, this man, when he was younger, spent time, I believe, out in the open fields, looking up into the vast sky, wondering and thinking and contemplating God. He could reverence God and worship God and understand things about God when he was by himself, but he did not fail to let's say, forsake the assembly of himself with his fellow saints. Isn't that beautiful? A king being amongst the people, above the people, but not above the people, recognizing and worshiping God. It was a duty. David said, I used to go up with the people to worship God. There were certain sacrifices that we had to give God. I went with them to his house, and the voice of joy and praise fell off my lips. Fell off our lips as we remembered the God of heaven. It also says, now when it was talking about this multitude, the Septuagint would render that, I will pass through on to the wonderful tabernacle. It's also speaking again of David having this assurance, if you will, that God would do this. The word multitude, as it is used this first time in looking it up, it talks about a thicket of trees, but it also has another meaning of a crowd of men. These people would sometimes have a procession in going to the temple of God, and it would sometimes be a solemn procession, but in other times it would be joyous. This is what David misses. Do you and I miss the joy of the Lord? Is the joy of the Lord our strength? Listen, he says, with a multitude that kept the holy day, those special days, the Moedim, the feast and the celebrations and so forth. Now, when I was looking at this particular word, it said that it was the different word, multitude. Now, when we look at it in English, it seems to be the same. It spoke of a loud noise of joy, as if a torrential rain falling down. Well, it seems that it could be people, and it seems that it could be a people with this abundant loud noise of joy. David is speaking of this. I'm going to read a few verses, and I'm going to go up until the fifth verse here. Listen again, going from the second verse to the fifth verse to have continuity. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I appear before God? I'm going to say again, my tears have been my meat night and day. I'm crying so much, I'm not even eating. While they continue, they say unto me, where is your God now, David? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that regarded, that kept the holy day. Listen at what David says. He's beginning. We see more in this next verse how it seems that he's talking or thinking to himself. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, in Yahweh, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. David is questioning himself. He's remembered the celebration. He's remembered dancing. He's remembered being with the people. And then he says, then, in light of those verses, why then are you bowed down so in grief? He's asking himself almost as if it's like, you shouldn't be this way. There's another, I think it's in one of the Samuels, when David is separated, and then he's a 400 or 600 men, and it says that those men were upset with David. And David, the Bible says, he encouraged himself in the Lord. We need to be so in the Word so that when testing time comes of grief, for whatever the reason, whether self-wrought or external, that we can think about God's Word, and his Holy Spirit helps us have the right perspective of who he is and how he can lift us up. Let me read this again. What David says to himself, or the Spirit moving in him, why are you cast down? Why are you bowed down so that you can't remember my goodness, that you can remember who I am? What are you going through now, seeking truth, that you might be cast down? Oh, my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Well, when I was looking up this, it seems to say that David says, why are you, one of the translations, so sad, or growling as a bear inside yourself? Why are you so agitated? David seems to be speaking of, I should be remembering, when I say I am speaking of himself, of the truth that is found in God's Word. The wonderful thing about looking at the Psalms is we get to see the humanity of a man who had been positioned high to do the will of God. But we can see that it's not mechanical. He knows the Scriptures, but we see that he is, let's use the word, depressed. We see that he is dejected, but we see that he continually focuses, turns his eyes toward God, but he has the Spirit. Should I be cast down? Why are you roaring and groaning as such? He says to himself, trust in God for your very deliverance. Can you read it? Can you see it? For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. David says, I'm going to trust in God. Now, this for the help of his countenance, we can translate that as for the salvation of his face. But it's more than salvation. It's an abundant, numerous, adequate, complete salvation. For the word salvation is actually plural. So I want to read it again. For I shall yet praise him for the salvation of his countenance. How is it that David can be so dejected and cast down, hearing all the doubts of the gainsayers, hearing all the doubts? Many times when people open up their mouth, they want to sow seeds of doubt in us so that we can't show forth the strength of God in our very own life. God's word is more powerful than that, but do we trust him? He told Moses, he said, I want you to follow this cloud. I want you to trust me. When you get there, hold up the rod. I want you to trust me. The Hebrew boys, I want you to trust me. I can deliver you, but you got to obey me. David, though you're in this situation, remember to trust me. This is very scriptures and the words that I've given you to know. I have salvation for you, and it is abundant, and it is complete. Look toward me. David says, I'm going to look favorably toward the promises of God and know that he is able. He is my rock. He is my buckler. He is my shield, and he has abundant salvation for me to deliver. Isn't this a beautiful thing? I said, we got to recognize, as David did, our need for God. Listen to what it says in the sixth verse. Oh, my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and from the Hermonites, from the hill of Mizar. The beautiful thing is we continue to see this man's heart. Because, see, I can teach this lesson, but it doesn't mean that, okay, well, I heard the message and now I feel better just instantaneously. To be bathed in the scripture is to be reminded of his goodness. David says, knowing all of this, my heart still has this struggle. I am not in, let's say, the hill of Zion. I'm not where God's presence dwells in the tabernacle. But the beautiful thing is that he can give us a measure of his spirit inside. David wants to get back to the temple. Oh, my God, my soul is bent down, burdened down, heavy. Because I'm not where I'm not in the land where I'm accustomed to being. When he makes reference here, where it says, I will remember thee from the land of Jordan. The Jordan River, it stretched pretty much of the length of Palestine, southern and a portion of the northernmost portion of Palestine. And it's this river, and I think it's interesting that he's speaking of this river, which in some cases flowed with great strength. And he speaks of the river of God, if you will, that would sustain him. I pant after you. Well, this Jordan is to make us know that he wants to be back where he was. Let's say the area of Judah, if you will. My soul is cast down. I remember thee from the land of Jordan and from the Hermonites. The Hermonites, he's giving us geographical pictures, if you will, of remembering of being in Jordan. The Hermonites speaks of the Mount Hermon, and it was a ridge or mountain range that was quite extensive and very high. In looking at it, I learned that the Mount Hermon was at as high as 9,000 to 10,000 feet. So he's speaking of this, and he's saying that's where some people believe that David might have been, close to the northernmost part. So he's giving us pictures, if you will, of being comfortable and being used to being in these areas. He wants to go back to the temple. He even remembers the hill Mizar. The hill Mizar, some scholars believe that it was a little hill and that it was actually part of the mountains that formed these Mount Hermon. All of the scholars that I looked at didn't necessarily say that, but David, again, wants to be back where he was accustomed to being able to be in the presence of God. Some people believe that this Mizar is actually where David was. As to where that is nowadays, no scholars that I read actually are aware of that exact location. So what do we see from the sixth verse?
David still cast down, in spite of saying, I'm going to trust in God. The heart will often struggle in life. Why? Because life has many different things that will affect us. But we got to be faithful. As we continue on with these next few verses, we'll see that David's going to be faithful. Listen at this. Deep calleth upon deep at the noise of the waterspouts. All the waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime and in the night. His song shall be with me, and my prayer unto God, unto the God of my life. When this talking about this deep calls upon deep, well, we just looked at the fact that he's talking about the Jordan River and this huge mountain range. So some scholars actually believe that he was near this area where there was this great waterfall, if you will, and this rushing influenced him as far as having this pen. Deep calls upon deep over his soul. He's continuing to talk about, let's say, feeling overwhelmed by the situation. He's got this longing to be in God's presence. So let's continue to look at it. What is he talking about? Deep calleth upon deep. This deep speaks of waves, huge waves or billows or surges of great waters torrentially crashing down against either banks or crashing over rocks. The calleth, the word calleth, in looking at it linguistically, those who have looked up the Hebrew meaning says that this, if the waves were speaking one to another, as if let's crowd over him or the rocks and so forth. So David feels like he is being, what's the word that I want to use, worked against. So his situation is so great, it's almost as if he feels no deliverance. These waves are conspiring against me. They're crashing over me and weighing me down, and the noise is great. What about the imagery that he's trying to get us to see there? Can you imagine having, let's say, being under, I want to say the Niagara Falls, and maybe it's not exactly like that, but if you step under Niagara Falls, do you feel like you're going to survive? I haven't been there, but I've seen pictures, the roaring waters. This is one of the things that David wants us to understand about the Spirit. Have you and I, in our spiritual life, ever felt like we needed to get back to God and it was so hard? But the longing and the desire was there. I hope we loved God at some point in our life that we can long for him like that. Well, maybe we're not in exile from God, but the long for God should be something that's constant in our daily walk with God. To long for him. David says this as if these natural physical creations of God are working against me. They speak to one another. The waves are overtaking me and is causing me great anguish and sorrow. The eighth verse reads, yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. In spite of how I'm feeling, you hear that? David's feelings weren't the reality that he should focus on in God. I said we need to recognize our need for God. In recognizing our need for God and his scripture, his presence, he will give us insight and light to remember his truth. David says, by day, God will order or direct his mercy and his favor in prosperity to me. You see, I said David had an expectation of being able to get back in God's presence, to be able to be with the people of God. Him being in exile, whether it was because of Absalom or not, he was trusting in God. Do we trust in God today, saints? Yet will God, he's speaking with assurance here, even though we hear his heart's cry, God's going to bring me out. And sometimes there are weapons formed against us, but we need to trust in God that his word is right. Lord, have mercy. Yet the Lord will direct his favor in prosperity. That's what some people translate this daytime to be. And in the night, his song shall be with me. Well, the night, in some, according to some, they believe that that speaks of his of calamitous times when it's, let's say, a dark situation. Other commentators believe whether it's daytime or nighttime, any given moment, God, and when he is ready, can deliver, will
delivered. David says, the night shall be his song. God's favor, God's blessing shall be with me. When we can remember, if we think of the songs that were given in the Bible, it was around a time of victory, if you will, when Hannah was able to have a bear child. She burst forth in song, a song of victory. Do we have a song in our hearts, even in the trying times? The joy of the Lord should be our strength. That's why David wanted to be in God's presence. Lord have mercy. And my prayer, God's victory is going to be with me, David seems to be saying, and my prayer unto God, the God of my life, the God who formed me, the God who sustained me and has everything I need. It is something that if he cried such that he didn't eat, it was well displaced. The fact that he didn't eat, but he longed and searched after God, he prayed for God. Sometimes it should be like that, that the one who created us should fill our very soul and our spirit more than we are gluttonously wanting something from a restaurant or something that we can whoop up. We ought to desire God as such or even more. So listen, I'll read these last three verses here and we'll comment on them. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? 10th verse, 42nd division. As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where's your God now? 11th verse. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Listen up. Hope. Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the help of my countenance and my God. It seems to be a vacillation here in David, recognizing that God is able and that David has this anguish. That's the humanity. What does he say? I will say unto God, my rock. I'm going to address God as my defender, my rock. He's still seeing that God is able to protect him. When God is your rock, who can go up against the rock? Lord, have mercy. To my defender, I'm going to address him. I will say, why have thou forgotten me? It seems like that sometimes, but let's remember the reality of who God is. Christ on the cross said, God, why have you forsaken me? But Christ knew that God hadn't forsaken him. He knew. He told the disciples, he said, after 3 days, he told the people, I'm going to raise up this temple. The Bible says he spoke of his body, but we saw the humanity of Christ. Let's not be so human in that we haven't been born from above that we forget who God is. We got to recognize that we need his holy word. Just having his word is to be in his presence. Lord have mercy. Let's get back to the text. David says, I will say unto my defender, my rock, my protection, why have you forgotten me? It's like you're not interposing. It's like, how long must I bear this trial, this situation? I want to come home. I want to be in your tabernacle. I need to be in the presence of your people. But he says again, why go I mourning because of the oppression, because of this, the wickedness of the enemy, those daggers of doubt again? We got to have a spiritual eye and not always see the situation as being bigger than God. David was afflicted deeply, but he's still trusting in God. As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me. Satan does not care about us, and there are people who hate God. There are people who hate God, could care less for God and or his people. David says, it's as if there is a killing that's taking place of my very life. There's a breaking of my bones. There's a bruising of my bones. It's as if I'm being slayed and crushed. These enemies are reproaching me. They don't speak wisdom to me. Here David is, if he's in exile because of Absalom, away from his palace, away from the tabernacle, and he feels like he's dying. What's going on? God, please interpose. While they say, they continually, constantly say unto me, where's your God now? It's not even as if these people, I would say, were what we would call today atheists. Mm-hmm. They're antagonizing him. if your God is so good and you follow him, well, you have messed up so much, he's not even acting on your behalf. Let the wicked say what they will, but let's listen to God more than we listen to the wicked. The wicked are ignorant, and they are willfully ignorant, and we'll sometimes listen to the ignorant people and let that be a truth in our hearts instead of trusting God. But we see how David's fighting this thing. God, I'm longing for you. This is what they're saying, but I'm going to trust in God. Lord, this situation is not going to keep talking to me day and night. Continue. When I wake up after I finally get to go to sleep, I'm still hearing this. I'm feeling this, God, but my feelings are not all. I need you. I recognize my need for you to sustain me spiritually. We need to trust in the truth of God more than what it looks like the reality of a situation is. This last verse, he goes back and he reiterates a portion of what the fifth verse seems to say. Listen, and I'm going to read the 10th and 11th verse together as we get ready to close here. As with a sword in my bones bruising me, mine enemies reproach me while they say daily unto me, where's your God? Why art thou cast down? David goes back. Oh, my soul, why art thou disquieted within me? You have fight like that. Does the Holy Spirit help you like that? Hope thou, trust thou in God. For yet will I praise him, for I shall yet praise him. We quoted just a little bit from the 34th division of the Psalm, my soul shall make a boast. And I'm going to exalt the Lord anyway because I believe he's going to bring me back to his holy presence, and I will be in his presence. Who is the health of my countenance and my God? This changes a little bit from the fifth verse. I want to look at the last portion, and I hope I can phrase this like I want to. This fifth verse says, why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. So right there, he's really looking toward God and what God is able to do, the salvation of God's countenance. In other words, God is able to do this. Now David says, listen at this, in the 11th verse, for I shall yet praise him who is the health or salvations. He's able, he's fully able to completely, for he is the health of my countenance. Doesn't this sound like his attitude? The fact that he realizes that the situation where he's, even though he's still going through it, he has a peace, if you will, an assurance, blessed assurance. We sing, Jesus is mine. David could say, blessed assurance, God is mine. He is my salvation. He is able. He is my shield. Before he said God's salvation, now he's saying, I know he's my salvation. Listen, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Throughout this whole thing, these 11 verses that we've tried to speak about, we see what I said is a vacillation or a struggle. Not vacillating in that he's about to give up. Sometimes it seems that way. But thank God that the Holy Scriptures were written for us, and they're written for our learning, so that if we can identify with this, if we're in exile from trusting God, if we're in exile and feel like we can't, some people say go to church. It's more than going to church. No, it's getting correction. It's getting strength. It's getting his light on how we should live. Lay aside every sin and weight that doth so easily beset us. Be a light in this dark, evil world with his Holy Spirit. If we are in exile from these types of scriptures, we got to recognize that we still need God. If we are enduring situations in the family, situations on the job, as hard as it may seem, trust in God, for he's our creator, and he gives us the breath of life. But more than the breath of life that we just breathe, his Holy Spirit is what we need. He gets it through his word and his instruction. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Do we ask ourselves that with the proper perspective? Why art thou disquiet within me? Hope in God. We must remember and recognize our need for God
throughout the whole of our lives. There is a joy in being in his presence. There is a joy in having his word, even when the world does not want to recognize it. Let's continue to know God. Let's continue to bathe ourselves in his word. And would to God that if we walk outside of his will or not even give his word attention, we long for it better than David did. Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us an opportunity to go through your word tonight, to look at this text. I know I didn't pull it out as well as perhaps others could, but I believe that I was able to speak of your truth. I pray that it was a blessing, that it continue to be a blessing to us. Help us to covet your word and to long to be in your presence, both when we're alone and when we come together with others who trust and obey you, so that we can understand the joy, so that we can grow, so that you can continue to encourage us, strengthen us, chastise us, and see us on through eternity, Lord God. I pray for those of us in Seeking Truth and anybody who would listen to this text or lesson tonight that we tried to give. I pray these things in your Son, Jesus' name.